Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
With Renault's award-winning hybrid and full electric lineup, where style meets tech. Rethink Renault.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll hear about the new games console specifically aimed at children. Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Is it worth €320? We'll let you know. Plus, we will ask, what is the best tech device of 2026 so far? As always, you can email the show techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT, and I will jump into that inbox in a wee while and answer some of those tech questions. But I want to start this week with our dear friend John Riley of TheEffect.net. John, how are you?
Great, Jess, and you?
I am very well, thank you. We've got plenty to talk through. On Monday's News Talk Breakfast, I was chatting to Anton about a new games console that's aimed at kids. And the reason Anton and I were talking about it is because for most of this year so far, our conversations have been around keeping kids away from technology.
Yep.
But this has a very particular USP. Just talk us through it.
Yeah, so this is called the NEX Playground. So just NEX Playground. And it's coming from a US or Californian-based company called NEX. And think of it like a little Rubik's Cube, maybe a bit bigger than a Rubik's Cube, square console with kind of nice light pastel green and yellow colouring. This is really kind of trying to promote active entertainment or active gaming. So people might remember the Wii from, it's 20 years ago now.
No way, it's a 20 years.
2006 is when the Wii blew up. So 20 years we're coming up to the Wii. Yeah,
God, I know.
When I was doing the Wii, I was like, oh, sweet. Suffering, yeah. And then there's also the Microsoft Kinect, which is actually a bit more in line with what this device is offering. It's basically controller-free gaming.
Mm-hmm.
You put this little cube in front of your TV. It's very user-friendly. It comes in a nice kind of recyclable-looking box, and you get your HDMI cable with it, you get your power cable, and you get your little kind of thin remote, kind of like an Apple TV remote or a Google TV streamer remote that lets you interact with the menus. You hook it up, and then there's a wide-angle lens on the front of the device, one little camera, and that's how you interact with these games. Your body becomes the controller, like the Xbox Kinect camera from back in the day. Yeah, it's really kind of getting kids back off the couch. There is screen time involved, but it's active screen time in terms of they're jumping around, they're moving their arms, they're interacting like Fruit Ninja is one of the free titles you get, just swiping, cutting up fruit. So it's very engaging and active, yeah.
Yeah, it's because when I was thinking about it, initially I was like, God, they're bonkers. But actually, it has to be hooked up to a TV. So very often that it would be in the family living room where there's going to be that element of supervision. Also, as you said, there's no controllers. There's no option for it to go handheld like the Switch.
No.
So it's not like kids are going to get into it and then squirrel away to their bedroom or whatever. It has to be there. One thing that I'm sure parents are kind of curious about instantly, as you've described it, is the camera. Explain to me why and how the company have dealt with privacy concerns relating to the camera.
Yeah, so it's an originally a US launched product. So they have got all the certifications from the privacy aspect. They've got the KidSafe Plus or the COPPA certified, and it is actually fully GDPR compliant as well. So that camera is capturing your movements locally to help control your body movements on the screen. It is not being sent anywhere, it's not being stored anywhere, and it's not being stored in any cloud systems. So it's all for local tracking, body tracking, and they use AI on the device then to help kind of interpolate how your body's moving to and how you're interacting with the game. So there is privacy is incredibly important here. And even they've got the nice little quirk or a kind of a lovely little thought of attached to the power cable that comes out of the back is a little lens cover, magnet lens cover, that when you're not using the device, you click it onto the front, it sits perfectly over the wide angle lens on the front of the device, basically blocks the camera's view of the living space or wherever the camera or wherever the device is set up. So they're totally understanding of any people that are kind of a bit uneasy about this, but it's all done locally. It's all on device. None of it is sent away for analysis or for storage or anything.
Okay, well, that is a good approach. And again, when I was reading up on it and chatting to Anton about it, one thing that struck me was it seems that this was built with privacy by design rather than an afterthought, because every element of it, it seems like they know exactly what they're at in terms of getting parents a solution to keep their kids entertained, engaging in technology, but not picking up the bad habits and not with some of the scary elements that we've been talking about endlessly for the last number of years.
No, exactly, because the USP forced them to have that mindset from the outset, being the interactive aspect of that your body is your controller, therefore how is that going to be tracked? They could potentially have used maybe infrared sensors or other aspects, but the camera itself, I think, is powerful enough, and its capture, its ability to kind of bring you into the game, obviously, and you're on the screen, you're creating characters or you're controlling movements in the game with your body, is all part of the fun. Mm. So they knew then that the privacy aspect had to be front and center to give parents that peace of mind. Yeah.
So it's £320. It's available in this country as of Monday just gone. £320 is obviously a considerable amount of money. Talk me through the games and the game availability, because, you know, it's grand and dandy buying it and the kids get into one game, but we all know that boredom will set in after a while. So you'd need to make sure that it's worth, and there's enough selection of games, I suppose, to keep them engaged.
Yeah, so if you spend the €320 on the device, you bring it home and you plug it in, you get 5 free games. So you get Whack-A-Mole, you get like a goalkeeper type of game, you get Party Foul, you get Fruit Ninja, which most listeners might have an idea where, you know, famous kind of from the iPad days where you're chopping up fruit with your fingers and now you're doing it with your body. And then there's one other title I can't remember.
Is it Starry?
Yeah, Starry, exactly. It's like a music rhythm game. Listeners that have VR headsets might be aware of, I can't think of the Beat Saber. Yeah. Beat Saber is one of the most famous kind of VR games. Again, you're kind of moving your arms to the music as the items line up on the screen, and you have to kind of hit the boxes to kind of in time with the music. So they're all free when you take it out of the box. But what Next Playground are offering is a thing called the Play Pass. Now, I know instantly people might go, oh God, more money. And it technically is. So to really expand on those 5 free titles, you can pay for the Play Pass, which gives you over 60 additional titles, which is quite a breadth of titles. Mm. That can come in at €49 for a 3-month pass, or you can get a year or an annual pass for €99. So technically, if you want to have access to all of the titles, this device does come with an extra €99 a year subscription service. But the way I've seen it phrased, and the way I think is a good way of understanding it, that you buy a PlayStation 5, you buy a game, it's €80. For one game. And then if your kids want another game, it's another €80. I know they have their own subscription services that cost a couple of, you know, maybe 7, 8, 9, 10, €12 a month, depending on the tier. But this is a 99 flat fee for the entire year. Or as I said, if you want to just trial it out for 3 months, you get the €49 one. That's unrestricted access to the entire expanded catalogue of ad-free gaming. There's no hidden in-app purchases, which kind of can become a demon in their own right, that these kids might be unfortunately buying things without even knowing. And there's no then, with that subscription, actually, you do get automated monthly content drops. So those titles that you're getting access to with the Play Pass are getting content added to them each and every month as well.
Okay, okay.
So they're kind of expanding their well, not functionality, but their what's available to the gamers, to the players.
In terms of the age range here, because if, say, for example, if you have a 5-year-old, this might just tick all the boxes in terms of getting them moving, getting them engaged and all the rest. For people who might have, say, a 12-year-old, a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, is there enough breadth of content there to try and engage all the age groups? Or is there a fear that you're spending £320 on a console and then the kid's going to grow out of it in 6 months?
No, it's a very subjective question. It depends on how, like, if those kids love gaming, they're going to find a reason to kind of get stuck in front of the TV and get stuck into these games. But that 12-year-old might be broaching the upper limits potentially of what they kind of see as fun, because every game is three or PEGI 3. It's you know, the age is 3 and up, so it's all very child friendly. But I think your point, the 6-year-old is bang on the target demographic here. Maybe up to 10, 12, as I said, is just pushing it. Maybe the graphics aren't revolutionary at all. You're thinking maybe PS2 era. Like the device is it's small, so it's doing a lot of heavy lifting for the size of it. It's processing 4 players can play at the same time in front of the TV, being tracked by the one single camera. So technically, it's impressive for what it's doing, but the titles are kind of more rudimentary looking graphics. This isn't obviously a PlayStation or an Xbox, or even, and the new Nintendo Switch has some very impressive graphics internally. This does not have that as such, but it's really well implemented in terms of how the games are just, they know what they're working with. So they keep things simple and they keep it accessible and they keep it easy to work with. And they're not trying to be the new Halo or Grand Theft Auto or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's very kind of...
It's aimed at people who watch cartoons.
Yeah, it's cartoons-esque in terms of the design of the games and the visuals, and it's very colourful and it's very engaging, yeah.
So in terms of some of the games that are available, you've got things like Bluey, Beloved Peppa Pig, bit of Barbie, bit of Gabby's Dollhouse. It seems like they have... Again, they just know the audience that they're trying to get over the line.
Yeah.
In terms of the games themselves and the gameplay and the interaction, do you very much have to stand up and engage, or can you just sit on the couch and wave your arm?
You can, but it just doesn't work as well. I'm of a certain age that I do want to just sit down and kind of, I've been testing it for about over a week or two now, and it's definitely, it's interactive. You have to get up and you have to make sure you have the space. So that's kind of something to be aware of. You know, if you're moving your body around in front of your TV, they recommend, let me get this right, I think it's kind of about 6 feet wide at least, if not 2 meters wide to maybe 2 meters deep. So it's a decent enough size to really be able, so you're not banging off walls and you're not banging off each other. Mm-hmm. Especially if you have more kids, more than one or two kids, that there's going to be a decent living room or playroom or something needs to be able to accommodate all that extra movement. But the game, as I said, having those kind of worldwide household names, you know, the Peppas, the Blueys, the Barbies, and then you've got Zumba fitness party kind of aspects to it. Whereas my wife is like, you know what, I want to see how this thing works. This is like a free little gym membership that's in the sitting room now that I can kind of just sit up and kind of interact with the TV, but it's actually a fitness class.
How did she find it?
She thought it was, it's not going to blow your mind, obviously. It's your, you know, you're not doing any weights liftings or anything like that. But again, it got her going.
Okay.
She was like, it's deceiving in a good way that you don't realise you're doing so much exertion until you're like, God, I'm a bit tired after that.
Okay, good.
So it's again, it leads you on a nice kind of path as such to kind of get into that fitness aspect. And there's different levels of difficulty as well. Mm-hmm. It can really get the sweat levels going as well, yeah.
Okay, so overall, do we think that this is a bit of a gimmick, or is it a console that's going to make a dent? Because I was reading some research that shows it's going down an absolute treat in the US.
Yeah, because just this Christmas gone, the C word in June, I do apologise, but just there in the lead up to Christmas 2025 and Black Friday over in the US, it was outselling the Xbox. It was kind of like PlayStation, Nintendo Switch, and then the next playground was coming in. And for a certain window, I think it was outselling the PlayStation. It was doing huge numbers. I think they've sold about a million units already in the last couple of years. And now that they're hitting these big gaming markets, Ireland and the UK as of this week, I think they could be onto something here. And I think, you know, as you said at the start, getting the kids away from those sedentary tablets and even Xboxes and Nintendo Switches, if they have to get up to play their favourite character or their Bluey title or their Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle or whatever it is, parents are going to be like, I'm all for this. This is kind of active gaming, and it's really, they have to get up out of the couch, basically.
I have to say, I am still not over the fact that the Wii was 20 years ago, because I loved the Wii, and there was a game that we played all the time, and it was just like a basic sports thing where you could do golf or you could do archery or whatever it was. And they were so fun and engaging, and there was the added element of the crack, because you saw people standing up in the sitting room pulling a controller back as if they're doing archery. I do think there is a space in the market for gaming like this, particularly when they are aimed at that younger demographic who aren't fatigued or embarrassed at the notion of getting up and doing something in front of everyone. So I hope it'll be successful.
Yeah, and like definitely that's the key demographic or target demographic, but there is trivia titles on here, and there's probably going to be more party focused games, as I said, the fitness stuff with the Zumba. So it's not fully just toddlers and that age graphic. There is other aspects that could be the party games that if you have friends over and you kind of get up and interact yourself. Like, everyone's a kid at heart. They want to just have a bit of fun, and you don't need to know the buttons.
Yeah.
Your body is the controller. So there's a bit of kind of bringing people back in front of the TV in a positive light as well, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll check in a few weeks' time to see how sales are doing here in this country. And if you have any requests, or if there's a particular title you're curious about, you can email techtalk@newstalk.com, and I'm sure you can read more about it up on theeffect.net as well. The other thing, a reminder popped up on my phone. Do you know what we were doing this time last year?
Oh God, hold on. I don't know.
Nothing exciting now. We were sitting here having a chat, but do you know what we were chatting about?
What?
First 6 months of the year, what's the best, most exciting device you reviewed so far this year?
Oh my God. Well, yeah, what do we know? It's end of June.
It's tough, isn't it?
It is tough. There's been a lot of stuff I've been kind of getting stuck into, and there's been some really cool little things. I like to see the next. I know we just spoke about it, but new competitors entering the market. I always love to see that. It's not just the PlayStation and Nintendo's, just to see that, you know, people have other options out there. There's been some great phones. Again, Xiaomi. I'm always banging on about the Xiaomi's and the 17 Ultra and the camera on that.
What are you using at the moment?
I'm still on the Xiaomi 17 Ultra, which came out there back in March over at MWC. Early March, yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, the camera just blows my mind. I just love it so much.
You haven't been tempted to move back to any of the other devices?
No, I don't think there is the Oppo Find X9 Ultra. So the other kind of big Ultra model competing with the likes of the Xiaomi, that's kind of, I don't know if it's officially available in Ireland. I'm really keen to get my hands on one. I think that's the only thing that would make me jump from Xiaomi.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't know. Yeah, I'm curious to see where Pixel goes with the 11s, is it?
Yes.
The 12s.
What are we on now? The 10. We've got the 10.
The 10 now. So yeah. See what the 11 comes out in August.
Yeah.
And yeah. What have we got? Yeah. The first 6 months were pretty wild. So just, I'm trying to keep track of everything as well with my own life and things that are happening. And
but it's funny though, because I was thinking about it, that you have gone to many more phone launches and you've had, as you said, the Xiaomi's and the Oppo's and all the rest. Yeah. And it's just funny how in recent years we've gone from the new Samsung came out in February and that's top of the list. Things have definitely shifted, and one thing that struck me, I think it was the third or fourth time last time you were on the show, when you detailed the advancements in the battery tech that's coming from the Chinese manufacturers.
Yeah, that's it.
That is going to be the thing that we're talking about when we do our review of the year, isn't it? Yeah, really, is that
the innovation on that front? Mm. Exactly, because the other guys, they've been the top for a reason, and they make some amazing products, but they're just not innovating, I don't think, as much as the up and coming. They're huge in their own territories, but trying to get into the Western markets, into the likes of Europe, and they've really got to push to show that they are breaking boundaries. This Honor is also one of the big ones. They've got their V6 device that was kind of shown off at MWC as well. That folding phone was just mind-blowing in terms of the capabilities of what they're able to cram into that form factor. I just love seeing that innovation.
Yeah.
And I just really hope it puts it to them. I know Samsung did kind of step up last year with the Fold 7, the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 7, which is a mouthful, because they got the thickness down and they got the battery up a bit. But again, you can't sit back. You really have to innovate and kind of push things forward to make people, they're getting so expensive now. That's the problem. That people, you have to really warrant the upgrade.
Yeah.
And why do I need to upgrade from what I currently have?
Yeah. Let me know, what is your top device of 2026 so far? TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address. For the moment, John Riley of TheEffect.net. Thanks so much.
Cheers, Jess.